Support for Newsworthy comes from Enlivion, providing affordable housing and supportive services to help build strong foundations for a better future for hardworking families, seniors, and the disabled in Charlotte. More information available at enlivion.com. And from Thrivent, a financial services company working with individuals and families to develop strategies for managing their money and planning for the future. More information at mark.hargrove@thrivent.com.
From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Monday, May 5th, 2025. I'm Eric Thiel. Organized protests against Trump administration policies continued over the weekend in the Charlotte area. On Saturday, it was in honor of International Workers Day. Julian Berger has more.
Protesters gathered at the Latin American Coalition off of Central Avenue in support of immigrants and against the Trump administration. Then they marched down Central Avenue towards Plaza Midwood, calling for more respect for workers, unions, immigrants, and unhoused people. Also in attendance was U.S. House Representative Alma Adams.
Immigrants' rights are workers' rights. Yes. And our immigrant communities are a bedrock of the city of Charlotte. Immigrants, without you, there would be no United States of America. Yeah.
Saturday's march was organized by the Charlotte Metrolinna Labor Council, Action NC, Carolina Migrant Network, and other community groups. May Day marches were held around the U.S. last week, calling for better conditions for the working class. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Charlotte City Manager Marcus Jones is scheduled to present his new budget for the coming fiscal year tonight. Council members will have committee meetings through the day before that, starting with transportation and planning at 10 a.m. At noon, the Jobs and Economic Development Committee meets for an update on Symphony Park redevelopment. The Budget and Governance Committee meets at 2 to discuss debt refinancing and hospitality revenue. At 4, the Housing, Safety, and Community Committee meets to discuss a public-private partnership for an emergency shelter, as well as street vending policies. The full council meets at 6 for the budget presentation. A bill allowing concealed handguns inside private schools passed the State House last week. Republicans defended the bill, saying good guys carrying guns can stop tragedies. Democrats disagreed. Representative Julie Von Hafen voted against the proposal.
Guns are already the leading cause of death for students and children in our state. And it makes me so sad that we're debating this bill in front of a bunch of students that just walked in to watch this debate, because we are making their school environments less safe every time we pass a bill like this.
The EPA is giving employees a second chance to accept offers of deferred resignation or retirement. In the Southeast, 1,000 employees have already left the agency since the beginning of the year. Zachary Turner has more.
EPA employees have until May 9th to decide whether to stay. Employees who elect to retire early can receive administrative leave until the end of the year. Those who take deferred resignation may receive their salaries until the end of August. The offers targeted 4 offices in the EPA, which focus on grant management, inspections, and enforcement actions. Nonprofits, universities, and other groups that rely on EPA funds will likely experience the most change. About 14,000 EPA employees remain in the Southeast, many concentrated around the Triangle. The EPA is the 19th largest employer in Durham County, according to the NC Department of Commerce. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
The Charlotte area's first state trail could be on the way. The proposed trail follows the South Fork of the Catawba River. Republican State Senator Brad Overcash of Gaston County sponsored a bill that passed the Senate last week.
60 miles of hiking and paddling, significant touch points from both the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. Also, a lot of infrastructure there that people can view and see related to the textile industry, as the South Fork River really propelled that industry in the last century.
The bill goes to the House next. North Carolina House Representative Carla Cunningham of Mecklenburg County was the only Democrat last week to vote in favor of tougher immigration rules and more cooperation with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Julian Berger spoke with Cunningham to explain her reasoning.
House Bill 318 would require sheriffs to keep undocumented inmates 48 hours past their release date and notify ICE 2 hours before an inmate is released. Representative Cunningham says she voted in favor of the bill because she believes some sheriffs are not following current law. She also has public safety concerns.
No country in the entire world have open borders. And by us, the United States, taking in the illegals, it certainly impacts the poverty level. It impacts the finances and the economy. It also impacts the crime level.
Cunningham favors more cooperation between ICE and sheriff's offices. She was one of two House Democrats who helped overturn Governor Roy Cooper's veto of a bill requiring such cooperation, which became law in December.
One of the things people need to understand, just because I'm African-American or just because I'm a Democrat, we're not monolithic in our thoughts.
House Bill 318 is now in the hands of the Senate. If it passes, Governor Josh Stein will likely veto the bill. Cunningham says she hasn't come to a final decision on whether she would vote to override that veto, too. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Charlotte Mecklenburg schools have collected community input on how the district should approach artificial intelligence. The 10,000 responses suggest an openness to using AI in the classroom. James Farrell has more.
A majority of survey respondents wanted to see more use of AI in education, though there were varied opinions on how to implement it. When asked about how AI should be used in the classroom, 36% said they wanted to see a thoughtful, incremental implementation of the technology, while another 18% called for bold and innovative changes. By comparison, 35% said they were unsure or had mixed feelings. The survey also found many teachers and students are already using the technology. 44% of CMS staff said they've used AI at work, including a majority of teachers who teach middle and high school, and more than 60% of school administrators. But respondents also expressed concern about academic integrity and the technology's impact on interpersonal skills. CMS hopes to develop a vision and guiding principles on AI by July. The survey is an early step in that process. CMS leaders will participate in a summit on AI later this month. James Farrell, WFAE News.
After 2 weeks of nonstop fundraising, officials at Limestone University, a 180-year-old private Christian HBCU in South Carolina, is closing at the end of the semester. University officials say they raised over $2 million in their fundraising campaign, short of the $6 million needed to keep the Gaffney University's doors open. Students, alums, and the community were stunned when university officials announced in April, without warning, that it was in bad financial shape and needed the $6 million infusion. The university said donations will be returned. South Carolina lawmakers decided not to provide Limestone any financial support because of the college's private institution status. Raw milk sales would be outlawed in North Carolina under the state's annual Farm Act. Right now, it's only legal to sell unpasteurized milk for pets to drink in the state. But State Agriculture Commissioner Steve Troxler is a longtime critic of raw milk. He says it's even more dangerous now because it potentially contains bird flu, offering the virus more chances to mutate to transmit among people.
Now we've got E. coli, salmonella, listeria, and high-path avian influenza that can be present. So it is time to make sure that people are drinking pasteurized milk, and we have pasteurized milk for a reason.
The Farm Act has passed one Senate committee, but must be approved by three more before reaching the Senate floor. Charlotte Mecklenburg Police and the NC Wildlife Resources Commission gave an update on an animal cruelty case that's drawn national attention. Kenneth Lee has more.
Law enforcement officials received a social media video showing a group of people dousing an opossum with lighter fluid and burning the animal alive. It's gone viral on social media, and officials say it happened here. Officials with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission said they have contacted the district attorney's office to discuss how the case will be handled. Authorities said those involved could face felony animal cruelty charges, which carry a sentence up to 39 months in North Carolina. NC Wildlife Officer Christopher Blankenship said citizens have been helpful in providing information.
It's not an ethical way to take a wild animal. We're diligently investigating this case, as will for any felony case of animal abuse, of wild animal abuse. So the public support has definitely been helpful on our end to gather information.
Officials also said they are aware of an additional video being shared, but do not know if it's related. The timing of the video is also under investigation. Authorities Friday didn't name anyone involved. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
The North Carolina Department of Transportation says an interchange in Huntersville will be closed this coming weekend. NCDOT said crews will work on a new diverging diamond at Gilead Road over Interstate 77. Starting on May 9th at 10 p.m., crews will continue to work on the project to improve safety and mobility in the area. The roads will reopen to traffic by 6 a.m. on May 12th. We're now through the first 100 days of a new American regime. Tommy Tomlinson, in his On My Mind commentary, says making it through the days to come could depend on looking inward as well as outward.
You've seen and heard a lot of stories lately looking at the first 100 days of the Trump administration. The details are mostly the same. The tariffs that have tanked the economy. The roundups of immigrants, including the man mistakenly sent to a brutal prison in El Salvador. The chainsaw that Elon Musk and his Doge project set upon nearly the entire federal government. The plummeting approval ratings. And the fear that Trump and his allies are breaking our country in ways that can never be fixed. There's no point avoiding the news. It shouldn't be avoided. We are living in a time that historians will be talking about centuries from now. We owe it to ourselves to look the facts in the face and be honest. But I also wonder if it's worth it for each of us to look at our own last 100 days. I think of two questions. One, did we do something to make the world better instead of just doom scrolling and rage posting? And two, did we take care of ourselves? I know sometimes I feel like I fall short on both counts. Journalists aren't activists. We don't march in rallies or put political signs in our yards. We hope the stories we tell give the information you need to navigate the world and make better decisions. Commentators like me get to tell you our opinions, but we're always one step removed from the process, which is as it should be. Many of us, and I'm including myself here, have also felt overwhelmed by the daily barrage. It's easy to lose yourself in the news and forget about the soft spring winds and the birds calling in the trees. It's easy to stay up too late and not get enough exercise. It's easy to let the ugly inertia of these days drag you to a standstill. But one thing I've come to believe from watching a lot of sports over the years is that you have to trust process over outcomes. If you play your best, you might not win, but you can walk away with no regrets. I feel like that's the sane way to deal with these next 100 days and the 100 days after that. There's a long way to go before the next presidential election. Do something to make the world better. Take care of yourself. They sound so simple as to be not worth mentioning. But I think a lot of our future depends on how we actually follow through.
Tommy Tomlinson's On My Mind represents his opinion, not the opinion of WFAE. You can also listen to Tommy's podcast, Southbound, where he interviews notable Southerners. And for Monday, May 5th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Teal.